The Sheriff of the Jason Moran Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So last week, we told you the story about that Longview bus driver caught driving drunk. And now, Washington State might make some policy changes for districts to follow. Now, we told you this kid went on the bus. A bus driven by Catherine Macaron. And he realized pretty quickly that she's not acting the way that she should, so he called 911.
She's, like, wobbling, and then her eyes, you can tell she was drunk.
Did she smell of alcohol?
Yeah, her breath sort of smells like alcohol.
And you said she ran how many red lights?
About three red lights.
See, that kid sounds good, right? Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. She smelled it like alcohol. Now, you're wondering, hey, okay, you know, kid, maybe the woman just had some Listerine before she got on the bus. So you don't necessarily know what it's like to drive drunk. Well, how about this? There's video and audio camera capture from the actual bus driver. And so if you don't actually believe that maybe this kid is telling the truth, how about this?
No, whoa, no! You have potential!
You have potential. And then she started to yell at them.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder why you look like someone else, and you're like, wow, I don't know who they are. Why do I look like them? They say, wow, you look just like them. You need twins.
Yeah, and then when all the kids got off the bus, she talked directly to the camera.
You know why I'm doing this? Because my marriage sucks. And my husband is a...
I don't know what that means, but okay. So this is someone who should never be in front of a wheel again with kids in the car. Yeah, can we all just raise our hands if we support that idea? That seems like a good idea.
Seems fair.
Probably shouldn't have a job there. Longview Public School Superintendent Dr. Dan Zorn said that this was an isolated and unfortunate incident. But now he says, per King 5, the district is going to have some more drivers interact with office staffers before even being allowed to head out on bus routes. So, in other words, come, you know, let's have a chat. Let's make sure that, you know, you can walk in a straight line and maybe say the alphabet backwards. This is, you know, this field sobriety test before you get on the... not going that far. But North Thurston County School Districts has actually a policy that they are really proud of. Their transportation director, Deanna Maddox, she's all like, yeah, we're putting the keys behind a clerk's desk. The drivers have to go into the office and ask for the keys. And during that sort of, you know, interaction, we could generally tell if they're all right to be behind the wheel of a bus.
That way they were having a face-to-face interaction each and every time they come and they get their keys, whether it be, you know, something with a situation of under the influence, medical, or sometimes we actually have drivers who just come in who are feeling under the weather. And if we determine, you know, that they may not be safe enough to drive, we'll send them home.
Now, you know, the problem is what if the clerk is the one who's drunk?
Ah, that'd be poor judgment.
Who does the clerk check in with? Now, at another school district in King County, they have the clerk checking in with someone else to get keys to the office of the clerk's office that has the bus keys. But then, of course, you're saying, well, what about the clerk checking in with the clerk? What if that clerk is actually drunk? Well, then we have another clerk that the clerk checks in with before the other clerk can check in with before the bus driver.
This is a huge process, and maybe we
literally
just, like,
takes all day.
Cut away the alcohol before we go into that process.
You know, the thing is, because the superintendent's office, Chris Reichdahl, who's still mad at me because I called him an anti-Semite, which, by the way, he is, they're considering a statewide policy as to whether or not they're going to do something similar to what's going on in North Thurston County, which seems, you know, to me, it seems that's a smart policy. Even if it's just a quick interaction, it is something. But is this big of a problem? I am kind of wondering, like, did North Thurston County, did they decide to do this because there were people who were legitimately coming to work, either drunk or sick and shouldn't have been driving and otherwise would have gotten onto a bus? It is kind of weird that I never really think about what has to happen before the bus driver gets into the bus. The same way most of us don't worry about a teacher showing up drunk to the office, right? To the classroom. I'm assuming it happens from time to time and it's addressed, but the teacher doesn't come in and say, hey, Principal Joe, I'm good to go. Look, I close my eyes and I can touch my nose. Like, they don't actually do the field sobriety testing stuff. And we kind of just assume that is this a problem statewide, or is this in fact what Dr. Dan Zorn just said, which is it's unfortunate but very isolated?
Yeah, I don't know. Why is the North Thurston School District so proactive about this? Something had
I'm glad that they're proactive. Don't get me wrong. But it's the kind of, like, I'm appreciative of it, but also wondering, like, why are you doing it?
Something had to have happened. People don't make changes until things happen.
Yeah, and maybe it was, or you know what, that's not always true. You know, maybe they did have the foresight in all of this. And again, kudos to them for doing this. If I were you and I've got a kid in North Thurston County, I would say, I trust my kid's safety with these adults there. That's good for them. I'm just kind of wondering, right? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numbetter tax resolution. And by the way, I've never encountered, at least to my knowledge, a teacher, except not college. College will throw that out. A teacher who was drunk. I never took the bus. Privilege. So I don't know about that. But if it is that sort of, if it happens enough that they have to create these kinds of policies, wouldn't someone who's listening right now know of an instance? Like, anyone out there who's ever had any kind of connection to anyone who had a parent, a teacher, a teacher's aide, a bus driver drunk, can you send me a text? I'm just wondering. I'm a naturally curious person. Stop giving me that look.
Yeah.
You're judging me. That's why I do for a living. I'm curious. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. The Jason's hair in the 253, that's what we call. I don't know why Saul Spady calls him that. I mean, my hair is a character in and of itself. He says, I grew up in the 70s. All teachers were drunk. Fair enough.
You know,
I'm a child of the 80s.
I don't think anybody wants to narc on their teachers right now if they knew that they were drunk.
Who likes their teachers? Of course you want to narc on them.
Nah.
I'll narc on all of them.
Eh.
Miss Power, she was the worst. Oh. You know what? She used to bring drugs. I'm kidding. I liked her. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So the funny thing, yesterday, as we talked about Hillary Clinton defending Joe Biden, I made just sort of a passing note about there is a belief among some folks in the world of politics that Hillary Clinton is getting ready to run in 2020, which would be the most amazing, if not sad and disturbing, decision of her career. And that's a long list of things we can point to and say, that's sad. Steve Bannon is out. He was on with Trish Regan over at Fox Business and said, yeah, Hillary Clinton is totally running. She's just trying to figure out a way to do it effectively.
Right. They'll throw Biden away to get to Trump and hope Elizabeth Warren, or I even think Hillary Clinton or Bloomberg or some centrist comes in here and takes.
Oh,
I think
Hillary Clinton might be back to run again.
Hillary Clinton's doing a whole thing, a meeting this week for a book she wrote with her. But she came out yesterday, said he's, you know, it's a illegal president, illegitimate president. You know, he's got to be removed from. He's a clear and present danger. China's not a clear. The Chinese Communist Party is not a clear and present danger. Donald Trump's a clear and present danger. She's running. She's just trying to decide how
Why
to fit her way in.
No, she's not. There's no way she's running. I think she's doing what Steve Bannon wants him to do. She wants people to start talking about her a little bit more because she is hawking this book that she wrote with her daughter, which sounds like the worst possible book to read. Can we just stop with these books? And by the way, none of you even read any of these books. And it's including when George Bush puts out his, or Rumsfeld or whatever, Condi Rice, who I actually really like. We buy the book and we don't do anything with it. We don't even read it.
Yeah, you don't read
She's
it.
She's not running.
There's no way that people are making money off these books.
Yeah, it's all a scam. She wants you to think that she's running because then people on the left who maybe are, you know, kind of not thinking about Hillary Clinton will be like, oh, you know, maybe I don't want, oh, she's got a new book out. Even if they don't want her to run, they'll say, oh, she's got a new book. Let me go ahead and purchase the book because it sounds like a great winter read. Winter read? It's not summer. It's not a summer release. You're not going to read this at the beach.
Maybe a nice autumn read.
I mean, you know what's the only thing I can think of that's worse than a Hillary Clinton book is a Hillary Clinton book co-written by her daughter or by her husband or by an aunt or something. None of them have anything interesting to say.
That's the worst thing you could think of? Not even like a third campaign from Hillary Clinton?
No, but this is not going to happen. I wish it did. It would be fantastic. I would love to see that. Because imagine all the infighting at that point. She's not going to run if she's backing Biden against claims of sexism. She would either stay quiet or she would do some sort of passive-aggressive claim of like, well, you know what? He maybe didn't intend it, but you know what? This is 2019 and we got to change our habits because we're supposed to blah, 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 blah. she wouldn't have done what she did, which is basically say, okay, get over it, ladies. Leave it alone. Joe Biden is not the person to attack. He's a wonderful person. She was running. She would not have said that.
Which kind of bums me out because I just root for the chaos. You know, you can't script political.
I agree, but you're going to get the chaos no matter what because of Trump. Trump will cause the chaos. He gets people to go insane and deranged around him. So whether it's Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, it's all going to be chaotic. Joe Biden would be a little bit subdued chaotic because he's so sleepy all the time. But still, that's a Trump thing. It's not a Hillary thing. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. 45 minutes from now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to this Thursday night's Seahawks game against the Rams. It's Thursday night football. We've got a pair of tickets to give away. I'm going to give you a keyword at 5, then you enter it online for your chance to win. Every Tuesday before a home game at 8 a.m. on the Saul Spady Show and 5 p.m. on the Jason Rand Show. That's what you're listening to right now. We give you that opportunity to win. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to do that at 5 o'clock. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So the 2019 holiday season is going to be the last one for the downtown Seattle Macy's. The department store is closing up shop in downtown Seattle. I didn't even realize it was still open, if I'm being totally honest, because it looks like one of those buildings that's been completely abandoned because of all the crap that's outside of the building. Lots of homeless people and lots of what appeared to be drug users outside of the Macy's. It just doesn't seem like the best place to go shopping. But, you know, what do I know? Apparently, it's been open. Seattle Times says they're going to start clearance sales on January 1st, 2020, and the store will close for good in February. I thought all the stuff that Macy's sells is already kind of on clearance. Like, those are the things that you can't get at Nordstrom, which is the adult's place to go shop.
Yeah.
Macy's? Ugh.
I don't know. I haven't been to that Macy's since I was like 4 and my grandma took me
Macy's
there.
Is the worst. You might as well go to JCPenney. Ugh. They say that they're not entirely sure why the store is closing yet, but one could just look at that area and get a general sense of it not being the best place for any kind of business. Here's a Macy's shopper talking to Q13, telling me he's sad to see the place go, as if his opinion on this matters at all.
Yeah, it's bad because I like this store. I mean, it's good to have it in downtown. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know, I understand it's leaving. There's a lot of new things being built in downtown, but I'm sad it's going away.
So, you know, the thing is, people say this all the time. They're like, oh, it's really sad to see these places go. There's an institution. Oh, yeah, when was the last time you went there? I mean, it's been 30 years, but, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go there with mom or dad, blah, blah. Like, okay, then you don't care about the building, you care about the memory, and the memory is going to be there. We had the same conversation when they were talking about the Showbox being knocked down for a new development, and folks were upset. They were like, oh, my, this is one of the best venues in Seattle for music, for concerts. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I remember when I was 13, my first concert, I saw Jimi Hendrix or whatever it was, and they get super passionate about it, and you're like, oh, that's, yeah, I mean, I remember seeing some good shows there. When was the last time you go? Well, I haven't gone since that first show when I was 16 years old. Okay, things change. Communities evolve. Buildings get torn down. Let's not pretend that any of these are truly historic in any meaningful way. It's not to say that your memory of the place is not important. And this is not specific to Macy's or Showbox. This could happen in, we hear that, you know, the neighborhood bar in Tacoma is finally going away, or Puyallup, or Renton. Oh, they're taking, yeah, it's because you don't shop there. You don't go there. You're not a client of theirs. You're not a patron of theirs, and they're not making money and they want to move on. And sometimes they just want to move on. They're not interested anymore in making 20 egg omelets. They want to retire and move on with their life. They were able to sell the land to someone who's going to pay them a boatload of money for it. Why don't you just wish them luck? Stop fighting it and just hold on to that memory.
Yeah, no.
Memories don't go down when Macy's comes down.
No. If you haven't been there within the last, like, 8 months, don't complain. And the 8 months, I think, is gracious. I could have said, like, 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and I still would have stood by my remark.
It's not even like there's no place that's similar to go shopping in.
There's one, like, right down the street.
Well, there's not there's a Nordstrom.
Yeah, like, right down the street.
Yeah, but there's a Nordstrom rack. That's better for Macy's. I'm not going to compare Nordstrom to Macy's. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So if you're looking to stay warm on a cold Seattle night, I got some bad news for you. You're going to have to pay a heat tax or a don't freeze to death tax. Apparently, elderly residents are going to be hit the hardest with this tax. Last night, it was pretty cold. I remember I was getting into bed I was like, oh, this is chilly outside. I went to close my window. The closer I got to the window, I was like, oh, yep, it's winter. It is here. I know it's not here, but this is fall weather. It's just absolutely freezing. And in Seattle, if you've got a specific way to heat your home, you're going to get hit with a tax thanks to Mayor Jenny Durkan. She just signed into law a tax on home heating oil that's supposed to serve, I'm told, as an incentive to move on to a cleaner form of heating systems in the Seattle area. This is not going to do that. This is literally about nickel and diming residents, all while Durkan will then say, oh man, it's really expensive to live in Seattle. Because you keep taxing people to death. Now, under the legislation, you're going to be taxed 24 cents per gallon of heating oil. That impacts about 18,000 Seattle households, according to the Seattle Times. And Durkan said, we're in a fight for a climate, and we've got to be tackling every source. We know our greenhouse gas emissions come mostly from transportation and buildings, so we've got to tackle those. Now, home heating oil only accounts for about 2% of the total emissions in Seattle. That's not a lot. And apparently, this tax is going to directly hit senior citizens the hardest. Because they're the ones, apparently, again, according to this story, who own more homes that are more likely to use this kind of home heating oil. So we're basically charging elderly people more money to stay warm on these bitterly cold nights. That seems like bad optics. Like, oh, you're an adorable old woman. Yeah, well, you want to stay warm, don't you? Yes. You want to stay warm, don't you? Right? Right? You want to stay warm? Okay, you got to cough up some cash. And the thing is, a gallon of this heating oil only costs $3, okay? 24 cents per $3 spent is annoying. It's certainly going to hurt people who have little disposable income to begin with, like, for example, the elderly. But it's not enough to change your home heating system, because if you wanted to convert to a method of heating where the energy is not as bad for the environment, it's going to cost you between $10,000 and $15,000 to get the newest technology. So are you going to pay at the end of the day, maybe $50 to $100 over the course of a year to heat your home? Or are you going to cough up $10,000 to $15,000 for a new system?
Yeah, I'll go on the cheaper one.
Yeah, and that's going to happen all the time. It's very similar to the soda tax. I said, look, we're going to impose a sugary beverage tax. We're going to go after this because we want people to stop drinking so much sugary sodas and juices and whatnot, because it's leading to obesity, it's leading to diabetes, and it's particularly impacting low-income communities and communities of color. Okay. Well, push aside for a second the fact that that's directly a tax on poor people and communities of color, because demographically those are the ones who are more likely than not to drink regular soda. But it was pennies, right? You ended up adding like a nickel to a quarter, depending on how much soda you're buying, of course, to the end of the day. And you raised way more money from that sugar tax than you even anticipated, which means you had the opposite effect. It didn't cut down on the amount of people purchasing soda. People purchased more of it, or at least just as much, which means it didn't go down the way you thought. What do you think is going to happen here? All they're doing is collecting more money. That's all that this is about. They collect more money, they squeeze from you every dime they can, and then they put it into some program that doesn't impact your life in any meaningful way at all. It's a scam. And it's a scam that we all say, oh, go ahead, go do it. Because you got a whole bunch of woke Seattleites who are hardcore environmentalists who are like, oh, whatever, it's just another TED, it's not that much. Who cares about those eight? You know what? They're bad people anyway for trying to stay warm with the home heating oil. So what if grandma freezes to death? You know what? That's one less person who's eating up resources. Like, that's how they think. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. This is the tax version of death by a thousand paper cuts. Death by a thousand individual tax hikes on a whole host of things. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. Producer Peyton, what time does that mean it is?
That means Big Local time.
Brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept of the Big Local, really, really simple. We focus on the communities you live in, and we completely ignore Seattle, because usually the media does the opposite of that. And I start with news I wasn't necessarily ready to talk about, but I got an email, and I think I have to adopt a dog now. And it's, oh, I have to adopt a dog.
Yay. I like that. That's good.
Mm.
Talk about it.
Posado's Safe Haven, which is an awesome organization out in Monroe. They said they responded to a disturbing dog hoarding case in eastern Washington in which 32 dogs were rescued from the scene and immediately brought to their sanctuary for medical care. They say the reporting party called us for help after law enforcement came and took 20 puppies a few weeks ago, but did not pursue a case on the resident nor go inside the trailer to help 32 remaining dogs that were trapped inside this trailer. They say the property owners were desperate to get help for these remaining animals and for the woman squatting inside. Now, here's where I'm kind of on the fence. Like, this story that I'm going to tell you about these dogs makes me want to adopt them, but also not. It's one of those things where this is a significant thing. They say these dogs were being contained in broken cages made from metal scraps and fencing, tied together with rusted wire and strips of filthy cloth. They were locked in these small spaces in complete darkness all day, forced to lie in urine and feces-soaked towels. The windows were completely blacked out, and there was no running water. The living space was only a few hundred feet, if that. They say every single one of these 32 dogs lived their entire lives in the trailer in deplorable condition. It doesn't appear that they've ever been outside, let alone seen a veterinarian. So we're going to talk with a representative from Posado in the 5 o'clock hour. Like, oh my God. And they're pugs and beagles and chihuahuas, all the dogs that I like, because I like a little yappy dog that has some personality, like a little snark behind it, which is kind of like me. I want all of them. No. I want every single one of them.
They are cute dogs.
They're the most adorable. Do they look like dogs that were kept inside?
No, I mean, not at all. They're beautiful.
That's the good part about this, is hopefully they're able to get into a, you know, a forever home, as they say, without having to worry too much. But it does, you know, when you're a dog in those kinds of conditions, my assumption is it's not really easy for them to get along in a you know, a normal environment. So if you want to check out these pups, if you want to adopt one of them, because they're trying to adopt these to loving families all across Washington State, go to PosadoSafeHaven.org/dogs. Posado, PASADO, safehaven.org/dogs, and you'll get the opportunity to check these out. I think I have to get all of them. Oh, the fourth, I can't do 32 in my apartment.
That fourth picture that you sent?
Oh.
That thing's cute.
They're so adorable. Oh my God, they're so adorable. I want that. Oh, and it's so sad. God, I gotta get a dog now.
You know, remember,
I didn't show up to work today thinking I was going to get a dog.
We always talk about those stories where, like, you want to be noted for your heroics. If you adopted all 32 of these dogs, every news outlet would be on you, and you would be a hero, Jason. This is your chance.
But here's the problem. They would be stuck in my apartment, which, to be fair, wouldn't be completely in dark, but would almost be like the trailer, right? Not as deplorable of a condition, but it's still, for 32 dogs, my apartment can't handle that.
But you live a great life. You can share that with them.
Oh, yeah,
give them the life. Yeah, give them your life.
I don't cry myself to sleep every night alone. Sad. It's a great life. Okay, we'll talk with them a little bit later. My hope is, here's what I'm hoping. Everybody who's listening to me right now, you'll go ahead and adopt the dogs before I get the opportunity to tell them I'm about to adopt a dog. So then you'll be helping me out. Again, PosadoSafeHaven.org/dogs. After two straight losses, Wazoo football coach Mike Leach, he had a motivating message for his players.
Well, we're a very soft team.
Oh.
You know?
That's not good.
We get a lot of good press. We like to read it a lot. We like to pat ourselves on the back. You know, and if we get any resistance, we fold. And what's amazing about this is most of these guys were on the same team last year that was a tough team. Uh-huh. They're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled. So I think we've got a bunch of free agents running around there that think they're pretty special. And then, you know, as soon as something doesn't go their way, they want to pout. Collectively, starting with me, we failed to get through to them. I mean, we've let them evolve into a soft team, and they are soft.
Okay, but then who's to blame? You let them, or is it them, or is it both? Because you're not talking in a way that really indicates both. Does this work? I mean, I'm presuming some of it is in jest, just to sort of hit the team and say, hey, this is on you now, fatties. Why don't you get back in shape and get hard? But that's not going to motivate most people, right?
Oh, this is great. No,
you think it motivates a college student?
I guarantee you. So they're on a bye week this week. They got like 13 days till their next game. 12 days, whatever. They're going to come out in like pregame t-shirts that say like fat, dumb, entitled, happy on them. And they're just going to use that as motivation. But I think Mike Leach is not hiding the truth at all.
There are good coaches who I think have the ability to back their team publicly and then put on the pressure privately, right? You've got Pete Carroll, I think, is very good at doing things like that. Brian Schmetzer, I think, is doing really well. I don't know the name of the Mariners guy, Service or something.
Scott
or
Service.
Yeah, that dude, I don't watch anything. I hope he's yelling at them both publicly and privately. I don't know if this works. And look, if we truly believe that they're quote-unquote soft, then this definitely doesn't work, right? Now, if they're hard and they're just not really playing very well, then yes, this might work. Because you're putting the stigma of being like a soft fatty.
My favorite idea is that it was 30 times worse in the locker room before he did this presser. Mm-hmm. I'm sure behind closed doors, this was so much worse. So those players, you know, they hear this in the media and they're like, yeah. You know what? What he said to us 10 minutes prior to that was a lot worse, and he really sugarcoated it.
The whole idea is, look, I've got pride in what it is I'm doing. I don't want to lose. I don't like feeling like this when my coach calls me out. Maybe I'll step up. But, man, I wonder if this went a little bit too far. It might have the opposite effect. Finally, Como says a clerk dodged a bullet during an armed robbery at Kent's Smoke Shop. Is that hyperbole? Let's go into this and see if he actually dodged a bullet. Store owner Nihad Al-Zadi tells Como News that it was just after 9 p.m. when two masked men came into Ishtar Smoke Shop and asked him some questions about some of the items in his shop. And then before you know it, one of the dudes pulled out a gun, pushed the clerk away from the cash register. There was some kind of scuffle. The guy falls over. And as he falls to the ground, the robbers were having a really difficult time opening the cash register because it was locked. Then at one point, they don't say why, but one of the robbers fired a shot at Al-Zadi. Missed, the bullet hits the floor right next to him, and then the robbers end up just grabbing the cash register and running off.
I don't know. They are crazy because they, if they need to take the money or something, I don't know what they should. It's a murder.
Yes. So I'm glad everything is well. Do you think they were... So he clearly didn't dodge a bullet. So let's stop that stuff. Bullet, he didn't run away. There was a fire, and then he jumped out of the way. That's not how it works. Do you think they purposefully missed and were trying to send a message, or do you think the guy missed because he's just a bad shot? I'm glad that this worked out the way that it did. Obviously, you wish none of this had happened, but this could have ended much differently.
Probably a bad shot. I'm going to assume...
Think it was that bad of a person?
I think a lot of these robbers that carry guns, I don't think that they're expert marksmen, and I just think that, you know, they're firing these 9mm all willy-nilly, just going into everything.
We're getting enough of these stories in Kent where, you know, I think some folks need to start having that reckoning, that conversation of our city is turning more and more dangerous. The city of Kent has some really huge benefits going for it. The city of Kent has more upside than not. But we're seeing a lot more of these small kinds of criminal cases that could have ended in a much different way. And this is part of the reason why, when we can, we push for Zandria Michaud, who's running for Kent City Council. She's someone who actually backs police officers. She's married to one. She understands the importance of having a strong and funded and supported police department. And right now, in Kent, it's very similar to some other places like Seattle, where you've got an activist class that's basically calling out cops, not wanting to give cops the support that they need. Zandria Michaud is able to do that. I liked her plans. That we're still waiting to talk to her opponent, who I guess never responds to our request, but we'd love to have him on to talk through his campaign. But Zandria Michaud, who has been on the show a number of times, she's got what it takes. And when stories like this happen, I think to myself, you know, here's the good news. People like Zandria Michaud are stepping up and trying to serve their community. Now we just got to get them enough of the support to put them in a position of power where they can tackle this issue. Because I am 100% confident that Zandria Michaud is able to tackle these kinds of issues. She sees crime happening in her community. She's sick and tired of it. And she decided to step up and try to do something. So Zandria Michaud, running for Kent City Council, let's go ahead and do what we can to back her and candidates like her. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Progressive freshman representative Kim Schreier has a challenger in the 2020 re-election campaign, someone who much better reflects the 8th District. That includes Sammamish, Auburn, Wenatchee, Issaquah, Ellensburg, and so much more. Her challenger is former Army captain and Amazon, current Amazon manager, Republican Jesse Jensen of Bonnie Lake, and he joins me live. Jesse, thank you so much for coming on.
Jason, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So why'd you decide to enter the race?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was 7 years in the Army, was fortunate to lead men and women on several different combat raids when I was part of Joint Special Operations Command on, again, four trips overseas. I left the Army in 2014 feeling comfortable and confident that I was leaving the men and women that had served under my command in the more than capable care of the military and the Department of Veterans Affairs. Unfortunately, this year in March, a good friend of mine and mentor chose to take his own life. And unfortunately, it wasn't the first time that this had happened. And to me, it was just a sort of another example of someone slipping through the cracks.
Yeah.
It wasn't but several days later when another progressive member of Congress said, if the VA ain't broke, don't fix it. And she was pointing to sort of how, you know, the VA was this beacon of socialized medicine. And for me, there was a couple things wrong with that statement. One, having been a consumer of that healthcare and seeing it firsthand, I knew that you know, wasn't the case. And second, it felt like it was sort of being used for political gain. And for me, that was a moment of sort of, you know, an awakening, if you will. And I knew I needed to start paying attention again. And I sort of, you know, did a tour of the 8th Congressional District. Live here in Bonnie Lake, went to a lot of the towns and places you mentioned, Ording, Issaquah, Ellensburg, Auburn, Bonnie Lake, where I live here, and just spoke to the voters. And it was more than just veterans issues. It was health care. It was taxes. It was pocketbook issues where, you know, the current representation that we have here in the 8th just doesn't seem to be taking care of the folks here in the 8th, and I feel like we sort of are lacking that servant leadership that I learned over all those years in the Army.
Yeah, and look, let's be frank, you're missing that right now in Washington's 8th. The ironic part about all of this is Kim Schreier doesn't waste an opportunity to remind us that she's a doctor, and yet, you know, not only has she not led on the VA issues that you pointed out, but she's a supporter of Medicare for All, which would take away private health insurance and force people into government-run programs that they may not want to do it. So what's your plan to push back against Medicare for All?
Well, yeah, before I share my plan, just two additional things that I would say is first, right, it's not just, you know, folks that may not want their private health care lost. It's not restricted to Republicans. You know, I have four or five brothers-in-law here, and the number goes up and down. And they are union members. And, you know, sort of this universal health care plan is going to strip the private health insurance away from them. If you're a union member and you like your health care, it's going away.
Mm-hmm.
And universal coverage does not mean universal access. I think that's another big issue. You may get this sort of universal coverage plan, but you're not going to be able to find a doctor. You're not going to be able to go to the doctor. Look at the sort of Obamacare promise that you'd be able to keep your physician on the Affordable Care Act. To your point, and it's the right question, what do Republicans bring to the table as an alternative? And, you know, I had the opportunity to speak with Dan Crenshaw in May. For those of your listeners who may not know who he is, he was a Navy SEAL who lost an eye in the line of duty and is just a prolific member of Congress now, is a great thinker. And his point was that Republicans have become the party of no on health care. And I had the opportunity to speak with Leader McCarthy in May as well, and shared a thought that I had around a thing called universal catastrophic care. What it is it's a way for, you know, anyone who has a medical issue to go in and get care. They're not going to sort of have to lose their house in order to pay it. It's a sort of a reinsurance program of sorts that, you know, pegs to the poverty level. And universal catastrophic, the Democratic plan is sort of a way of giving health care for everyone, right? Bill Gates pays the same thing. UCC has the opportunity to keep health care costs where they are. Government spending doesn't go up, and you don't run the risk of becoming bankrupt. So new ideas like that is why one of the reasons that I'm jumping into the race, to sort of inject some new thinking into stale ideas. And, you know, look, we can't bankrupt any individual, but at the same time, we can't bankrupt the federal government at the same time while providing health care to folks that need it.
If you're just joining me, we're talking with Republican Jesse Jensen. He is running for Congress in Washington's 8th District. His website is jessejensen2020.com. Jesse spelled J-E-S-S-E, Jensen2020.com. We only have a few minutes left. You come off as a moderate Republican, which I think fits the district pretty well. You're someone who originally didn't actually support Donald Trump, but you've since decided to come out in support of him. Do you support the impeachment inquiry?
That's a great question. And first, I want to say that, you know, I've supported the Republican nominee from the beginning. And there's a clear choice that we have, especially in the 2020 election. It's a choice between socialism and it's a choice between capitalism. And if you look at the differences there, I think the choice will become clearer as you listen to the policies of, you know, Elizabeth Warren and others. And you look at the alternatives. You know, let's be Reagan City on a hill. Let's not, you know, bring Congress to a grinding halt, which is, to your point or to your question, exactly what an impeachment inquiry will do. My opponent came out in support of impeachment before the latest allegations against President Trump, which we'll admit are troubling, but I would argue do not rise to the level of high crimes or misdemeanors. Right? This is, you know, nothing that the president did is a crime or a misdemeanor. Would I have done it? No. But, you know, hey, he has accomplished results. And that's, you know, why I've shared in the Seattle Times article that I'll be supporting President Trump in 2020 is because, I mean, it's, look at the tax cuts, look at the bipartisan initiatives that he's gotten through, banning bump stocks, he's passed criminal justice reform. His record speaks to it. The last time the unemployment was this low, the Beatles were cutting the Abbey Road record, right? Like, this is unprecedented growth, and it's in large part because of the Republican Congress, the Republican Senate, and Republican president that have pushed through these economic changes.
20 seconds to go. What's your pitch? Why are you the right person for Washington's 8th right now?
That's a great question. What we need is somebody who puts servant leadership above else, above partisan politics, before anything. I had the pleasure of speaking with General Mattis, who said, hey, you know what, Jesse, we need more guys like you who are going to bat down bad ideas on the right, going to bat down bad ideas on the left, and make the center bigger for everybody. And that's what the 8th Congressional District needs. We need somebody who's going to put their needs first and put partisan politics aside.
Jesse Jensen, 2020.com, J-E-S-S-E-J-E-N-S-E-N, 2020.com. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us live on the Jason Rancho. I really do appreciate it. Best of luck, and I'm sure you'll be back on the show talking about the campaign.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Again, that was Jesse Jensen. Website, jessejensen2020.com. You're listening to the Jason Rancho.